Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Hour. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Marvin Roan and a crew doing it again. That's right. It's Empowerment Saturday. It's time to have a discussion, a conversation, lively conversation. We're going to talk about the need for African-American empowerment. Let's go. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. There's no better love.
That's what I got.
There is no better love than for self and kind, no better love. Welcome to Empowerment Hour. It's 1 hour of African-American empowerment. Where's you going to get that, right? Well, guess what? This is the People's Show. You can call in 845-277-9250 if you want to sound off. We're going to talk about the need for African-American empowerment today. And so it could range in a number of things. It's an open topic. Today, open forum. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. I got a few things that I want to say, but, you know, that's pretty much typical for me. But we'll keep it moving. And so, again, we want to welcome you. You could be doing a whole lot of things, but you decide to tune into the Empowerment Network. And, again, that network is to fortify you and your family and your children and your next generation, because that's what we need. So let's get to the tenets of the National African American Empowerment Association, right? That is a simple mission of empowerment, right? And that empowerment is to ensure that the needs of the African-American communities are met wherever we are. And again, the reason why is because we have to go back and look at the history of the things that our communities and our people have been through since we've been in this country. And so why not empower ourselves? Why not take it to the next level? Why not work on ourselves? Why not get it right? Why not become the best people that we can be? And why not have that conversation of saying, these are the strategies and these are the tools. So here are the 5 tools. But first, we got to be able to understand that we got to develop programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our people. Wherever we are, wherever we are, wherever we are, we got to do that. Nobody else is going to do that for us. It has to be you. It has to be me. And we have to work together. And if we don't work together, you know, the same old thing is going to happen again. We already know that. And so we've been divided in so many ways. You know the whole story. I don't have to keep saying it. But what I want to say is that we have to do a really good job. We have to become excellent now in a few areas. And here it is. The first thing is we have to understand capitalism and the system that we live in. So we have to have a political agenda, right, that really looks at the politics wherever you live. And that, again, is a local, state, and national agenda for politics, right? You got to be able to be a student. You got to be able to teach your kids. You got to know the law. You got to understand the law. You do. And how it works, right? Elections, how they work, right? How to get in the political process. I'm not telling you what party to vote for. That's not my job. My job is to tell you to participate however you see fit for what works for you, but have an agenda that works for all of us at the same time. Next is economics. That's the E. You need to have an economic agenda, bringing that money in the household, and then learn how to manage it, maintain, keep it, save it, and then make it work for you. If you don't know how the system works, guess what? Just go to YouTube. That's all you got to do. Hey, they got videos on everything from A to Z. Educate yourself. We'll go down that. That's on the back end. But educate yourself on the economic system, right? You don't have to go deep into it, but you got to prepare the next generation for what's going on here. A is that. Athletics, that's health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Again, do you have a health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition plan? Do you have a health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition agenda, right? It really speaks to what you're putting in your body, right? And again, we know for sure that we're leading the league in health disparities. What are we going to do about that? And again, do you have a health, a wellness agenda? Are you eating right, right? Stay away from the sodas. Right? Sprite, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Coca-Cola. Y'all know it. It's the sugar, right? The corn syrup, You know, all of those things, the Doritos, chips, processed foods, we're going to have to understand how that impacts our body. So all you got to do is a little research, and you'll see, right? There has to be some health benefits that you provide for yourself by challenging yourself to have a healthy lifestyle and a healthy diet. Next is culture. Relevant cultural programs, got to have them. Got to have those programs to help stimulate us and drive us, just like this one. Get us thinking about some things. Having us to put ourselves in a better position culturally to appreciate ourselves, from the way we look to how tall we are or short we are, whatever we got, we appreciating it because it's ours, right? And that old agenda of black, big lips, big nose, nappy hair, all that is out the window. We're loving ourselves just as we are, and that's where the pride comes in at. And if you know who you are, guess what? You don't have to try to be like somebody else. You don't have to try to get in and fit in. You can just be your good old self just the way God, the Creator, Allah, whoever you believe in made you. It's just as simple as that. Lastly, is education is comprehensive. A comprehensive education, right, to prepare us for engaging. You want to be proud, and you want to teach your kids, your grandkids, your family members, community members to be proud of who they are. So when we walk the streets of every city, town, and state that we're in, no matter whether we're going on vacation out of the country, hey, we're loud and proud. Not loud as in ignorant, but loud as in it speaks for itself, right? How we maintain ourselves and how we respect ourselves is so very important. And what we want to do is improve the quality of our lives each day through empowerment, and that is to be able to do something consistently, and we can do it. We got everything that it takes. So today we want to get into the conversation of really looking at how we need to be empowered. Again, it's an open conversation, open dialogue, open topic, and it's just for you today.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
My man, Stan.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That is so true. And what we need to do, again, is stop trying to get in and fit in and be our original selves. That's why we need African-American empowerment. That's why we need each other. If you don't get anything out of this show, get this. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. We've come a long way. We still got a long way to go. There's some issues. There's some places. There's some spaces that we got to dive into. We're going to talk about that today. I'm getting ready to go over to Brother George and the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment. But first, I got to give you just a lick, just a sip, just a taste of the Willie Lynch moment. It won't be much. Listen up.
Speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term Lynch
methods
is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient
methods.
Home is envious if my program is implemented, as our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, You are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I am not here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof methods for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must...
Maybe thousands. Now, I play that every week for a reason. Because when you think about how we've been divided in so many different ways, how do we unify? And again, that's why there is a need for empowerment. We know the story, but let's change that narrative by changing ourselves. I'm getting ready to head on over to Brother George. Brother George, you ready? Here we go. It's time for the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa moment with Brother George. Oh, yeah. Brother George. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Brother George, bring it on in. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm excited. What you got for us today, brother?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. Well, today's principle I have is Kuumba, which is creativity.
Mm.
Now, I
like
creativity
that.
Because actually creativity is the black male, man and woman's genetic blueprint. Meaning that the mass majority of our people are very creative, and we've been the most creative people on the planet, although we don't know it as well as we should. But that's why I chose Kuumba creativity, to always do as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And I just explained why I chose that principle, because we need to put it into effect as soon as possible, dealing with our young people so that our young people can bring their creativity out in positive forms that can move our people forward. Now, I'm going to move into the Willie Lynch segment, which was really in-depth explained just a short while ago. But one of the things that Willie Lynch did was it got us to stop taking lessons from our elders, learning about our past, because our elders used to be the ones that would pass our history down to us, and we would sit and listen to them speak. Now, today I'm going to read a quote out of a book called Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern, and it was edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, and this particular segment is done by Frederick Newsom. Black Contributions to the Early History of Western Medicine. During several millennia, blacks in ancient Egypt made numerous contributions to medicine and were acknowledged as the inventors of the art of medicine. They produced the earliest physicians, medical knowledge, and medical literature. They contributed to the development of medicine in ancient Greece. Ancient writers, including Herodotus, Socrates, and Diodorus, affirmed this. Modern presentations of ancient medicine, however, deprive blacks of the knowledge of their early contributions to medicine by ignoring or subtly misrepresenting the black identity of ancient Egyptians. Blacks are currently underrepresented in U.S. medical schools. It is proposed that the recognition of the contributions of blacks to the early history of Western medicine would inspire black students to study medicine. Now, that's what that's one of the points that I try to make with all the sciences, that because our children have no idea that we're the actual architects of these sciences, they believe they can't even do it. And so many of our children, they don't even try, you know, and this is actually going to lead into the conversation that we're going to have today with you. But I just wanted to make those few points, and it's back to you, brother. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate it. As always, excellent, excellent work. And before we leave today, I want you to maybe recommend a couple of books. I like when you do that, brother. I like when you do that. All right. I like Brother George. He makes music with his mind. All right. It's all about creativity. That's what the brother said today. How are we going to educate our young people, right? How are we going to fill the gap and the void in terms of our underrepresentation? And again, the key is education. The more that we can educate ourselves, there's a stat going around that's talking about how our most people who are imprisoned in the American system who are African-American is just simply illiterate. So if we could break that barrier, the school-to-prison pipeline, we got a chance, right? If we could get more of our people up to speed. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you about the Jewish culture. Most of their children are literate by the age of 3, because in their culture, there's a literacy rate that's extremely high due to their learning the Torah. So you see how religion and culture go together? Religion, culture, and education in this instance. And we have to be able to do a better job of educating our children. And that's where the church has to come in again, the black church. I'm going to talk about that later on, and how we need to do some things in that regard. All right, it's time to go to the lines. I'm going to 1683. It's time. It's your turn. It's the people out. Come on, people.
Bring it. What? We ride
here.
Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
I like that. 1683, what you got for me today?
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. All is well, I hope.
Hey,
I do pray.
Hey. How you doing, brother?
Brother, I'm fine, brother. All praise due to Allah. Look, brother, I came to reality this week that, and we have to understand this as a people, and I hope everybody that's listening understand what I'm about ready to say. You cannot be a black man in a white world. Let me say that again. You cannot be a black man in a white world. And when I say black man, I'm talking black man and woman in a white world. It's impossible. Not because of us, but because of the white man. That was the job of slavery. And before slavery, as Willie Lynch put it, was to destroy the black man. White man don't want a black man in his world, okay? Now, you can be a nigger. You can be a son of a bitch. You can be a motherfucker. You can be a thousand other things, man. But you cannot be a black man. Okay, you see what I'm saying? You cannot be a black man. Now, what's a black man? Well, honest, loyal, faithful, loving, caring, courageous.
I like that.
Respectful, you know, a fatherly. In other words, a black man is godly. You can't be godly in hell. They don't coexist. That's why you had to, like Willie Lynch said, you had to destroy us as a man, as our mindset, because that set is anti the white establishment rule. So you cannot be a black man in a white world. We must first recognize that, understand that, and face that reality. You can't. We cannot be what we say we want to be. You can't. If we cannot be a unified people and not killing each other in the white world, the world don't want that. We cannot be a unified people and not beating our women, disrespecting our.
Oh, I think I lost him. But anyway, I think he made a good point. Maybe he'll come back in later on. And Mama, cover your ears. Cover your ears, Mama. All right. Let me piggyback off that. Maybe he'll get back in. Woo. Okay. Man. Okay. So the discussion is the need for African-American empowerment. And so, again, when I started the show, I was talking five areas. And today I'm going to add another one and then piggyback off of something else. But we need to think about, again, that those agendas, right? What it is that we need to do for our youth and our families. And the brother touched on that. We need to educate, right? We need better parenting and better homes and better families. And the resources and the economics and the education supports that, right? Along with having a good, healthy meal inside your home, sitting down, talking to each other. If that means sometimes holding hands and praying together, ain't nothing wrong with that. But those are the foundational tools that, again, a family needs. Now, do you have to have it that way? No, but we have to be able to do a better job of connecting and reconnecting and building that individual. We have to build each other. We have to build community. We have to build individuals. We have to build families, right? And we have to build ourselves. And the tool has to be, how do we get our church, right? It doesn't matter what religion or a temple or a mosque, to get involved, right, in terms of that foundational piece that gives people what they need internally, right, and then we begin to work our way out externally, right? How do we do that? How do we begin to have that church to understand what it was, and for us it was the black church, of course, and then what it is now and what it needs to be for us. And it does not matter, again, what your religious preference is. It's whether you're getting the resources that you need. Are you getting the counseling and the therapy and the education that you need? Are you getting the financial literacy information and tools that you need? So that's where I'm coming from today. I'm going back to the lines. I'm going to 9266. Coming to you right now. Right, yep.
Bring it! What?
What?
Right, 9266.
Are you there?
Hey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think we put too much emphasis. I'm all right. I think we put too much emphasis on the church. We always say the church. The church did have, it does have some influence, but I think what happened is with the way that our churches were set up, a lot of people have left the church. I know one thing that is missing that we no longer have programs. And I remember we used to have the Boys and Girls Club, and, you know, adding by the church, we had vacation Bible schools. And when we went to vacation Bible school, we went all day long. Our parents dropped us off in the morning and picked us up in the evening. And we had, you know, good programs and stuff. And so there were things for young people to do and places for young people to learn and, you know, be social and interact with each other. Now our young kids don't have anywhere to go. They don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they go straight home and they play video games. They play violent video games all day, you know, and they talk to each other via through the video gaming system thing, you know, all of that stuff. So we don't have the programs like we used to. The kids don't get out. They don't go play. They don't know how to use their hands. They really don't know how to use their brains because they have computers that do everything for them. So I don't think it's just the church. I think it's a situation overall of the programs that we used to have that used to teach our kids those social skills, those, you know, being able to deal with one another, be able to teach us conflict resolution, you know, because we still got to be in this program. You know, now it's conflict resolution. The first thing schools want to do is you need to go home. Go home and do what? Sit around, look at TV, and play video games all day. You know, so, you know, I don't think we should put it all on the church. It's not all on the church. The church was a part of it. But it's not all on the church. It's a much bigger story than just the church.
Okay.
That's it?
All right. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I think the sisters are right, exactly on it. Now, I will say this. I think, again, we have to have institutions that define our own reality. And for us, the outlet that we had was the church. Now, going back to Kuumba, we need to be more creative in developing outlets for our young people and our families and our communities to get what they need. The church was that center. Right, it was the mecca of whatever we needed. We could get it there, whether it was food, whether it was counseling, whether it was therapy, whatever we needed, we could get in the church. And that model has evolved, if I could say that. And so now we're going to have to look at exposing ourselves to other options, other programs. Again, the Boys and Girls Club, the Y used to be really good at giving our kids outlets. And so those things have closed down. And again, I think we have to step and stand in that gap to be able to give our young people and expose them to other resources, other outlets, other ways of being more creative. We're going to have to do the giving back now. And I think, again, you can see if you're in the nonprofit sector, a lot of those donations are now drying up in terms of what used to be there. And so we're going to have to supplement that with some things that we just do ourselves, and that's going to be our job going forward. How do we help ourselves? I'm going back to 1683. I think he's back in now. 1683, let's do it. Bring it. 1683, bring it.
Yes, sir, brother. You know, I'm on my cell phone, but I'm not moving. I'm standing still in the yard. I got five bars, and I got cut off. I guess I was running my mouth too much, brother. No, I agree with the sister about too much emphasis on the church, although the church did play a major role. It was just a step. It was one of the process. You know, a part of the process was the church. You know, it became our first teacher. Once we were transitioned into English language out of our original language into our master's tongue, then the first thing they taught us was that church, was the religious, and it went from there.
True.
Okay, but what we have to do, as I was saying earlier, we have to be black. That's it. Whatever that term means, black. We have to be godly. We have to be righteous. Like Brother Stan said, we have to be that God that's in us. That's what we have to do. And we have to look at ourselves and say, does that, can that coexist in this world in which we live? And then if it can't, we need to get up out of here and quit pussyfooting around with it, toying with it, messing around with it, trying to change it, because all the time it's changing us. It doesn't change us. We've got to be black, and you cannot be black in a white man's world. No, you can't. Like I said earlier, you can be a nigger. You can be a lot of other nasty things, but you cannot be a black man. You cannot be respectful of your woman, loving your woman, faithful of your woman, respectful of your children, being a man and leading your family to God. being a reflection of God to your wife, to your sisters and brothers, all of us as family, reflecting God, standing for what is right. And if we can't, you know, we can't live like that in this world, because this world broke us out of that. That's what slavery was all about, to break us out of that and bring us into their lifestyle, to make us reflect them and not ourselves. They taught us Amos and Andy, Kingfish and all the food. Step and fetch it. This nigga is how you supposed to be. You can't be a righteous man. You can't be your righteous black self. Not in this world. You can't. You know, like I said last week, there's no such thing as a free black person in this world in which we live. No, because think about it, brother. If we had free black people in Africa or in any other continent on this planet called Earth, I'm saying free black people, they would come and get us. They would have been come and gotten us and enlighten us and lift us up and say, come on out of this hell you in and come on home. They had, if you're a black, free black person in this world, that would be your first priority. Go get my people. Because somebody is screwing them all to death and been killing them for years. And me as a free black man, now in my godly self understands this and see this, I must go get them. I can't ignore that. Unless you're going to be like the Black Panther. Remember the Black Panther? They supposed to were invisible over in Africa and nobody could see them, and they would not use their ability to come to get the blacks in America and around the rest of the world. That's why his cousin, his uncle's son, turned on him and wanted to go back and take over, because he was pissed because y'all got this and had this ability and y'all ain't come get us. He never could forgive them for that. So it's not like they there, brother, if they free black people. Free black people in this world, they would come and get their brothers and sisters out of this hell in which we in. You can't be a black man and live in a white man's world. He will not allow it. He don't want the righteousness that we stand for, that we represent. I got to break you down so you just like me. You my nigga. And when you understand that through Willie Lynch and all the other things we've done to you, then I'll take the shackles off of you, the chains off of you, because now I got them on your mind, and you're going to walk my planet, walk my neighborhood just like I want you to walk my neighborhood. Put up with all my crap, kill yourself, disrespect yourself, hate yourself, even hate your physical appearance, hate everything about yourself, because you my nigga now. That's what you must be if you're going to live in this country with me. That's my slave, man. Free black man.
All right,
black
brother.
Man can't live in this world. Yes, sir.
All
thank
right.
you, brother, for
I'm
the opportunity
hold you
to
right
finish
there.
My piece.
All right, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. All right. Thank you, brother. I think I will agree to disagree in terms of this. I think it's up to us. I think it's up to us. It's up to us now, right? They are not stopping us from becoming our best selves. And we know that there have been organizations, right, that has really worked hard to empower the African-American community. I would just name a couple comes to the top of my mind is the UNIA, if I got that right. That's Marcus Garvey's movement, right, that really empowered the African-American community on a major national scale. Then we had, of course, the Nation of Islam, right, that did not stop, right, in the face of adversity. And so even the other smaller community and religious organizations that have organized itself to empower African Americans. And again, this I'm sure is uniquely African American, right? How do we become our best selves? And although those obstacles are there, and the brother said you can't be a black man, I think you have to make that decision. And we're going to have to make that decision that we're going to teach, train, develop, and educate our people. And that's a part of what we're talking about here on this show. How do we ensure that the needs of our community is met? How do we make sure that our young men are prepared to be fathers and husbands? How do we ensure that our young ladies are prepared to be mothers and daughters, right, and good wives, right? In the same way that our young men are preparing to be good husbands and supportive of one another. And that's what we need. So I'm saying I don't have all the answers, but that's what we must do. We must do that, and we must do that now. We're living a nightmare in some regards.
Thousands
we have to be able to understand
years ago,
where we
there
came
stood
from.
A great African warrior king
Ra, Ursa Mayat Ra, some tepid Ra, Remetsu Mariama, this majestic ruler who reigned for over 60 years, a legendary master builder and historical revealer, cunning and strong, corrector of both right and wrong. As he walked the streets of Kemet, the African people would cheer. And he stood one day at the Giza Plateau, marveling at Khufu, Khafra, and Minkara. He recalled the pyramids that we'd built, 48 stories high, 755 feet wide, 2,003,000 stones, some stones weighing over 3,000 tons in the inner casing. This great warrior king marveled at the system of mathematics that he knew his people had created. And with a great ambience, he stood at the base, and he walked back down the corridor that he would lay the rest tonight. His queen joined him, but in the middle of the night, he woke up in a cold sweat from a nightmare. His queen looked at him, but she'd never seen him this way before, so she never said a word. He laid down again, and in the middle of the night, he awoke screaming at the top of his lungs. His queen still didn't trouble him. But the next morning, as Ra rose, as he gazed into the sun, she said, "My king, last night you were troubled. What was it that bothered you?" And he slowly and methodically looked up into her eyes and he said, "Last night I had a dream and I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw black men killing one another. I saw black children disrespecting their mothers. I saw black armies going down in defeat. I saw black babies saying things even I wouldn't repeat. I saw the pyramid builders once so wealthy and once so wise, now smoking crack and committing suicide. I saw an African queen being called a bitch. I saw an African king wallowing in the ditch. I saw black people who once loved one another become separated because of class, status, and color. I saw ministers of God lying to people who believe just to obtain a dollar is what they hope to achieve. But then things got so bad and it made me so sad until I screamed to God like I never had. And I cried, send them a message and make it loud and clear. Don't give up now because freedom is too near. You've been too..."
We can't give up. The truth is we had it together. And in some regards, we still do. We're close. Again, we have to organize. We have to begin to give back. We have to, like Brother George said earlier, we got to do that Kuumba thing. We got to be more creative and ingenious about educating our kids and navigating the system, right? But also, we're going to have to do the work of representing ourselves really well. I think, again, education is the key. But you got to understand how to play the game and capitalism. I'm going to slide on over to Brother George. Brother George, what you got? You know I got to bring you in.
Bring it! What?
Brother George, what you got?
Yes, sir. Well, the first thing I'd like to do is mention a couple of books you said. I'm going to recommend Black in Science, Ancient and Modern, edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertimer, and Introduction to Black Studies by Marlana Taranga. And both of those books give you a wealth of information on our people here and on the continent. And so they're excellent books. I mean, there's many more I can suggest, but for today, it's those two. I also would like to comment on what the sister just said recently. I wish that sister could contact you because we really need sisters in, you know, being a part of the program that we're trying to do. And we're not trying to do what we're doing because we are actually doing it. But if she could contact you, I'm hoping she can hear my voice, could contact you and make some plans that maybe we could have a discussion of, you know, maybe how she could contribute to what we're doing, you know, because she's very creative and she understands, you know, our problem well. And I wish that she could be a part of what we're doing. Now, moving into you know, the issue with our youth. Like, basically, we need to, it's a simple answer, you know, we need to re-educate our people. You know, our people, they're going into this critical race, you know, theory, right, concept. And, you know, like, they're going to talk, they want to talk about the relationship between black people and white people. Like, we've been saying that the educational system needed to redo its curriculum for the last 50 years because the curriculum is, some of it is just basic numbers and symbols and information, but some of it has to do with faces on accomplishments. And we need our children to see all of the faces of accomplishment that we've done. I gave three of the participants, because we have a summer job program that we're running along with RHA. And so I have three, you know, participants that's under me. And so I asked them, you know, in their classrooms, do they have like a person come during Black History Month and give like a talk on black accomplishments? And so they told me no. So I asked them, I said, well, name me something that our people have done, that black people have done, like invented or did. So I said, what about Charles Drew? You know, you ain't never heard about him with the blood plasma? And, no. I said, what about Benjamin Banneker and the clock? No. So I said, let me get you, I'm going to challenge you to something. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reverse it. What I want you to do is I want you to tell me anything in this room that we're in, anything that you could point at, see, touch, whatever, that black people did not share, anything, you know. And so they couldn't, you know, say anything. So I started saying, okay, well, what? Table? No. Chairs? No. Toilet? No. Bricks on the wall? No. We did all these things, you know, but I want y'all to see, like, at that point, I'm beginning to get their attention because they've never heard these things before. And see, we need to set up, just like your sister and Brother Booker and yourself said, we need to have programs, and we do have a program that we're, you know, using as we're going along, and we're putting together an even more effective one. But we definitely need to re-educate our young people and give them a sense of self-worth and self-pride, because as long as they don't have that sense of self-worth, then what does it matter if I kill another nigga? What does it matter if I go to jail with black hair and come out 25 years later with gray hair over one decision? You know, it's we got a lot of work ahead of us, but this is, you know, this is why I'm here. You know, this is why I'm here on this planet. And if that work was done, then my time would be done here. You know, so that's the way I look at it. And, you know, once again, to the sisters, please contact Marvin and see if we can try to work something together. But you can spend some other time, because I'd like to hear, you know, some more opinions that's on the line.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate you. And, you know, George talked about being here on Earth. And here's the thing, right? I don't know if y'all know, I'm sure you do by now, but Jeff Bezos, which is the billionaire, right, who owns Amazon, went out into space took an older gentleman and a 18-year-old out into space, right? So, again, there's a lot of resources that they have. I'm saying they because he has it, and we don't. I mean, we could put our money in feeding people, right? Better housing, right? Developing small businesses. This man is going out into space. He's trying to get to Mars, and we're just trying to get on base. And so, again, we're going to have to understand the need for African-American empowerment, right? Again, there are some people who are trying to get out into space, and we're trying to get out of our own way. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm just saying that you can see the disparities, right? If we got black billionaires is willing to give $100 million to causes, what are those causes and how can we use that $100 million to stimulate education for our young people that, again, that go to our HBCUs that can come out into our own corporations that we can finance work, right, that we can finance technology, tech companies, right, that we can get this disparity in terms of underrepresentation in the medical field like Brother George talked about earlier and be able to examine those things that we really need, right? Again, Jeff Bezos is going out into space. He's planning on going to Mars, him and Tesla. What are we doing? And how can we truly prepare our young people to compete on that level? Of course, certainly there's a head start, but can we get in the game and become our best selves again? I'm going back to 9266 in a minute, but I just want to get us to thinking about how we can begin to truly compete, right? Get us ready, right? Education is the key, right? Like Brother George said, we have to re-educate ourselves, and again, knowledge is power, and we need education. We need unification. And we need, most of all, education. I'm going over to 9266. I think I stirred up today. These people going to space and we tripping. Come on.
Bring it! What?
9266, what you got?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Hey, so Brother George, this is Jackie, and I'll get in contact with you. But I want to make a comment about what you just said about Jeff Bezos and him going into space and the money that we spend. So this is what I mean by we can't depend on the church for everything. When you're uh-huh. talking about things like STEM and different things like that, the church is there to give us our spiritual growth, hopefully. That's what we're hoping the church is there for, because every church is not uh-huh. equal, but every organization is not equal, period. So we're just going to put that out there. So the church is not going to be able to give us all of the growth that we need. So when you're talking about those STEM opportunities and the different opportunities, that's where our community comes in. So even like the program uh-huh. that you did, Marvin, where one of your things that you were talking about doing was teaching the kids about different STEM careers. So we were talking uh-huh. about the kids, how the kids are going, you know, they are into sports. You know, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, play in the sports. You could be a sports writer. You could be a physical therapist and work with the sports, you know, work in sports. There's different things that we could do. So we were talking about even going to, what was it, Shelter in Arms, so that we could talk about how Shelter in Arms actually gives therapy to athletes and stuff like that. So that's what I'm talking about when we talk about how we can't depend on the church to give us everything, that education, that whatever. And this is our responsibility as parents and also our responsibility as a community to help those young people who don't know get them involved in some of these things or show them some of these things and show them how there's more to life than just your friends that are hanging around in the project. You know, it's just like, you know, even to the point, Marvin, you and I talked about how some of these young people have not even been to the other side of town. They live in Houston and never been to Southside. They live in Southside and never been across the river. You know, they've never been to the West End. They don't know what's out there. You know, even talking about walking trails. You know, we were walking a trail one day, and even as adults, you know, there are some things out there that we as black people don't even know what's out there. You know, how did all of these white people know that these trails are out here? What is it that we're not doing, or what are we not connected to that makes us to the point where, that we don't know about these things? You know, we were never exposed to them either. You know, and we're adults. So, That's what I mean by, you know, we can't depend on the church to give us this education or this experience or this whatever. You know, the church is there to give us that spiritual growth. But everything else, we're going to have to get from our community. We're going to have to get it from each other. We're going to have to dig deeper. And I understand what Mr. Chambers, what he says about how the white community won't let us be a black man and won't allow us to be black. But we're still going to have to be black, and we're going to have to figure out within ourselves, within our community, how to expand our community so that we are able to get those things that the white community has access to. You know, we're going to have to take our blackness and spread it out or something. I mean, we're having another choice. You said before, the only thing we got to do is stay black and die. We don't have another choice but to spread our blackness around. We got to take our blackness wherever we go because we can't get rid of it. We can't sit up here and ball ourselves up and keep ourselves in a knot because the white man won't allow us to be black. We're going to be black anyway. So might as well learn something in the process, do something in the process, get something out of it. We got to. We have to. We can't just sit back.
I like that.
And we can't wait for the church to give it to us. We got to go out there and get it for ourselves.
That's true. So true. All right, sister. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
So much. Great, great call. Great. Okay. So I had to think about some things, right? And I think when we're thinking about what we need, right, I think the more that we look at who we are, right, that creativity that has brought us through, the organizations that we have put together that continue to allow us to grow and develop and flourish in spite of, we're going to have to tap into another part of us. All I'm saying is we're going to have to step up. We're going to have to get to the next level, right? We're going to have to understand, and I'm saying it over and over again, the system that we're in. We could do it now. We could do it for ourselves. I think the limitations that we have are the limitations that we place on ourselves. I don't think white people can hold us back specifically. Right? I don't think there's a white man on this earth that can hold us back. I think we are the ones, just like we're the ones that's pulling the trigger in the community for those who rob and rape. We're the ones that's doing it. And so we're the ones that can change our minds. We're the ones that can create organizations. We're the ones that can create infrastructure. But we're going to have to set that platform, and we're going to have to give our young people something to aspire to. And like last week, that young lady is homeschooled. That means her parents invested in her. They put time into her, and that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to continue to grow ourselves, grow our young people, and grow our communities. We're going to have to do that. I don't think anybody can stop us if we're doing it, because nobody's coming into our household saying, you got to act this way. Right? I think we have to manage the systems that we're functioning in. And like Stan said, we need institutions that define our own reality, and I'm sticking with that. I'm going back to 1683. I'm young, I'm black, and I'm proud. I'm saying it loud. What you got? Coming back for the last round. Come on.
Bring it! What?
We right here. Bring it. We ain't going nowhere.
First, let me say, you know that I am
a black man in this white society. I'm going to die in that role, you know, because I understand
right.
to do that could cost me my life, okay? But we just got to understand that and realize the situation and circumstances that we're in. For example, I'll put it this way. They say Richmond is landlocked by the counties, by Chesterfield, Henrico, Hanover. In other words, it can't grow no more because it's already been boxed in. They say it's landlocked, so the city of Richmond cannot grow no more. We as a people are mind locked. We can't grow. We can't use our creativity for ourselves because mentally we've been locked in. Only thing we be creative for is how to make this system better. Like you talk about the billionaire going into outer space. See, that's where his mind is. He wants to discover and go further out. If we are the original people, we created outer space. Our creativity is far more than what this system has locked us into mentally. You know, we're talking about re-educating our children. Re-educating them to what? Making the system better. Re-educating them to start organizations to make the system better. It's got to be more than that. Our minds are, man, our minds are universal. But we've been mind locked. That's the slave. That's the slave mentality. You think only on how to improve your master's way of life, not yours, not your God way of life. My wife just walked up behind me, tapping on my shoulder, because I'm at a family function. They hear me talking on the program.
Oh, he being checked by the queen. He got checked
yeah.
by the queen.
By the queen. Yeah, uh-huh. But that's where it is, you know. He got to call me. Yeah, but that's
all right.
where we are. Okay, we got. That's all I'm saying. We got to open our minds up more, you know, because we're gonna re-educate our children. We're gonna re-educate them too. That's the key. We got to give them the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding to uplift them, to change their mind, unlock their mind. Not just re-educate them, unlock that greatness that's in them. That's in all of us, brother. That's what I'm saying. You know? And we'll discover a whole new universe in ourselves, a whole new God that's in us, just waiting to come out.
All right.
Yes,
all right.
Sir,
thank you, brother. Enjoy your family
thank
function.
You.
Continue to spread the
yes,
word because everybody in the function should be listening to the show right now so they can learn
exactly.
something, too. I'll talk to you next week, brother. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.
All right. All right. So as we get close to closing this show, I want to start with going back to the last point that I made about going out into space, right? And like the brother said, he's right. In a lot of ways, we're locked, right? We have to have agendas. That's what I started the show with. You have to have an economic agenda to create, right? That creativity starts with the individual. It starts with the mind because everything that you see, like Brother George said, was created from the mind of man. So there's a parallel creation going on between the ultimate creator, who created all the material things that we see first before we create it. And then there's the creation that man creates, stop signs, stop lights, right? Books, cars, you name it. We have to get back. We have to return to our rightful place. That rightful place as kings and queens of first yourself, then your household and your family, and then your community. Again, it is our commitment and our obligation to ourselves first, not to be anybody's pawn, not to be anybody's toy, and not to be anybody's token, but to be the great person that you were born to be. That takes effort. That takes time, but also takes a commitment to networking, a commitment to communication, a commitment to never stopping, never giving up. It is up to us now. It's up to you. I would like for you today to share this show with somebody else. There's a need for African-American empowerment. All you have to do is go into our cities, right? There's some great pockets going on, right? There's some our young people who are operating on higher levels, but how can we begin to get those resources back into the community that we can become the best people that we can be? My challenge today is to continue to do the work. Start with yourself. and begin to do that work today and every day. I'm Marvin Rome. I'll talk to you next week. Peace and blessings. Have a great week. I'm gone. Peace.